You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Just imagine, Skulk, you hadn't been in the markets. You took 6-7 months off or something, and you phoned me up and said, what's happened? I said, well, let's do a podcast about it. And I read all the things that had occurred. You hadn't read a newspaper or anything, assume. And I spoke about tariffs. I spoke about the war between Russia and Ukraine still going on, Gaza being obliterated, trade talks all over the place, the Fed and the White House at loggerheads. You'd probably say, well, the market would have at best gone sideways, probably come down maybe, you know, 5 to 10% on all that. No, here we are, record highs again, as I speak, actually, record highs on the S&P futures. Extraordinary, Skulk.
Yeah, that's just exactly my point of view. If you put me in some capsule, time capsule, took me out, told me all those things, and then you said, and the JSE has closed over 102,000 points.
Can you believe it?
NASDAQ is nearing 22,000 points, and the S&P 500, 6,500 points. I would have said you are berserk. There's absolutely no way that the one thing you told me will lead to the other thing you told me, but yet here we are. But it's an interesting scenario. I mean, you know that we follow this CME Fed tool.
Yes, well, the CME being the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
That's it. That's it. Where they basically trading to probabilities of a Fed cut. And you know, for the listeners that's been in that time capsule that Lindsay just described, if you were in this time capsule for the past year, I've got a big surprise, because last year this time around, they were forecasting 6 rate cuts until the end of 2025. We went into 2025 with no cuts yet, and they said, well, we're going to have at least 4 cuts. And here we're sitting with three Fed meetings left for the year, and we haven't seen one. But I mean, I think a little bit more than a week ago, I think when the last Fed meeting, you know, kept the rates unchanged, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, that CME probability tool had the rate cut only at 60%. Now it's high, but it only was trading at 60% just after the cut. That moved up to end of last week to about 80-81%, and today that thing has now gone to 99.9%. So I think that's the one point. I think, you know, we now looking at the market that's telling us we will most probably see the rate cut. And here's the I think the interesting one, Lindsay. What do you think? I mean, I know you're going to ask me the question, but I'm going to throw it at you before I answer this.
Okay.
Do you see them lowering it 0.25% or 0.5%?
It depends who goes into the hot seat, and also who is going to replace the vice chair. Was the woman that resigned a vice chair of the Fed, Skulk? I think she was, wasn't she?
Yeah, I can't say, Lindsay. I'm not 100% sure.
Anyway, they're putting up various candidates for the replacement. It depends on that. It depends how the mood of the room of the FOMC has changed, but and has allowed to change, because if there is influence from the White House, then we're in big trouble, because we're going to get rate cut after rate cut, and as you quite rightly say, maybe 0.5% in order to play catch up, because they call Trump calls what's his name, Jay Powell, too late Powell. So
they called him a few other things as well, just as a matter of interest. But yeah, that was most probably the kindest ones of them all.
I think that 50 basis points would firstly delight the market, then shock the market, and everyone would say, no, this is not good. And it would have the opposite effect, and markets would come down after an initial rally. But I think what they'll do is they'll say, okay, 0.5% now, and at the next meeting, very good chance, another 0.5%. Because inflation's only 2.7%, etc., etc., and that will come from the mouth of Trump, essentially. That's my thoughts.
So that is a theory, and I think it's sort of a if you'll put on probabilities on those, it's most probably go towards the lower side. But I wouldn't disregard. I wouldn't throw it out of the window in totality, because you just mentioned it. I mean, the inflation rate still trading 2.7%. So the inflation clearly, or the official inflation numbers clearly, has been under control. And we know what Trump's won. Trump want interest rates to come down, and come down, quite a bit. So here's where I'm going with this. I mean, we've just come we're not out of it yet. Still 48 companies to report on the S&P 500. So that's more or less 10%. So we've got 90% of the companies that's reported this time around. And when you look at the beats as we sit here, the companies that beat over 80%. So
to explain that, beat expectations from various analysts. So there'll be a group of people that sit down and say, I think Nvidia's earnings will be this, and they take an average of that, and if it beats it, that's a beat. It's not an exact science though, is it? And I think we've had a chat about this before, Skulk.
It's actually quite inaccurate, for the listeners out there now frantically trying to find any form of target prices or consensus. They're actually quite inaccurate. But what it does give you is when the market beat, then it is upbeat. The market do tend to run a bit further. Now, every month I do what I call the uptesa markets. I run through all these different valuations. And like many other investment specialists, I do think that the US market is totally, totally overvalued. I think it's overheated. It's really trading at dangerous levels. But there is a big but. Now you need to ask yourself the question, what will be the catalyst? The catalyst
many possibilities, Skalk, and so many that we don't even know about that will just come from nowhere, and we'll say, oh my goodness, we thought it would be tabs. It's something completely different. I wonder what it might be. What are your thoughts?
That's it. That's what you call a black swan. But let's take the most obvious ones. I mean, you've mentioned the Russia, Ukraine. We've talked about Israel, Gaza. We've talked about a few of these geopolitical unrest. But I mean, for the past, let's call it a few weeks, things have been fairly quiet. I mean, these ceasefires, sort of tongue in the cheek, has been holding up, fairly well. So let's say Trump's negotiation managed to keep things fairly quiet again for the next few weeks or months. So that's the one that I think will be a catalyst. If we see a break, suddenly there's some unrest again, a big political event. I mean, I'm not going to call things like nuclear or any of those things, just a big event. That could be a massive, massive break in the market, because then suddenly Mr. Market will say the valuations is just crazy. And with this big event, we could have a massive, massive implosion. But things seem to be quiet.
You know what makes me worried is that every day says, yeah, it's another day, it's another S&P high. And there's no one sounding any warnings, no red flags or anything. They're just sort of accepting that just going up because it's going up, and that will happen in perpetuity. It's not going to. We know that. And immediately you become complacent and sanguine about the market is when it comes and kicks you in the teeth.
The market usually don't crash when everybody calls it overheated. It's when people start finding excuses why it's not overheated anymore, when it is, in effect. So let's continue this theory. So let's say there's no geopolitical crack for the next few months.
Yeah.
Then the second catalyst will most probably be a disappointment in either economic data or company data. Let's take the second one first, because we've already mentioned the beats.
Yes.
And we've got 10%. We've got 48 companies left to report on the S&P 500. And then it's going to be done. Next 3 months, there's not going to be a hell of a lot of news coming out of any of these 500 companies. it's going to be quiet. It's going to be business as usual. So that will take us most probably onto another 3 months, or let's call it October, November. Then we will go into quarter three results. And you need to ask yourself, if the status quo is currently just kept unchanged, and we do see that interest rate cut in a month's time. Let's not talk about the 0.5%. We just talk about 0.25%. One would expect that equities in general, globally, would still react positively on the news that now interest rates been cut by 0.25%, and we will most probably see another 0.25% at the next meeting, which will be the 29th of October. So there will be no, let's call it disappointment in the coming. There will actually be good news upon good news, and one can expect that there won't be a major crack in the earnings, let's call it reporting for the quarter three. That will bring us to the economic data. Well, IMF just came out with their report, and they adjusted the economic growth for the globe upwards. Yeah, South Africa were kept unchanged at 1%, but in general, most of these let's call it developed countries, US included, were adjusted, you know, positively upwards. So you would need to ask yourself if inflation remains at 2.7%, which is done now, and we start seeing rate cuts, that should be positive for the economy, or at least for the forecast for the economy. So there won't be any, I would say, major cracks in the economic data that's going to be forecast.
I can tell you what's going to happen with economic data, and that is that it is going to be under the influence of Trump and the White House. And I think what is going to happen is that really big, smart investors will look at this and say, this is leaning now even more towards a dictatorship. The dictatorship first came with things like, for example, putting the army on the streets of Washington, D.C., and threatening to do that in all other cities. This is a dictatorship. And then it went on with him replacing people, the president, that is, with people that he likes rather than the people that are already there who he doesn't like. And so we all knew that a dictatorship was in its infancy. But I think what they'll say is if the economic data starts to be massaged by the White House, they will say, that's it. I'm not going into the US markets because I am afraid of what is going on. And the first one that will crack, despite the fact that interest rates are coming down, will be the bond market. And if the bond market starts to go, then the equity market will follow. That's my logical catalyst. My illogical catalyst, my black swan, is that there will be, and you can choose yours as well in a moment. I'd be interested to see what you think your black swan is. I think it will be Trump's health. I think Trump will, I don't think he will. I say he could suffer a health scare. It's already been spoken about. He's grossly overweight. He's not moving as well as he used to. He's fatter than he was when he came to power in January. And he could either be hospitalized for a long time because of a serious health issue, or he may, heaven forbid, die. I mean, I don't like him, but I don't want him. I don't wish him any ill. That's my black swan, Trump's health.
That's two great ones. I mean, that is really, really. I mean, if something like that should happen, that's major. I mean, that's like. I've often said my biggest worry is not you know the quality of the business within Berkshire Hathaway. It's just having a such a well known CEO in Warren Buffett that's already 90 years old. So, but I mean even that I think if something should happen to Warren Buffett, I think the company has been settled and put together in such a manner that it shouldn't have a massive effect. But I think if Trump should something should happen to Trump that he can't continue his presidency. I mean, wow.
And they bring in the hillbilly J.D. Vance. Goodness me. All hell will break loose.
No, I think that's it. That will most probably see the biggest crash. But I mean, that's the point that I'm making. So we're sitting in the one side that, you know, I would where are we going with this? This is such a volatile point on the U.S. market. It's extremely expensive. It's trading at massive valuations. These companies that has produced, I mean, there's this very beautiful graph where they look at the earnings growth on the Mac 7 and the earnings growth on the remaining 493 stocks. And naturally, the earnings growth, you know, still about, I would say, 2-3 quarters back, it was, in most cases, about double the earnings growth. You know, the S&P has grown. Hence the fact why they're trading at these exuberant valuations. I mean, Nvidia, 8% of the total S&P 500. This is the largest weight that any one company has had in the S&P 500 ever. There's never been a company that carried a heavier weight. And there's a few of these companies, but
8%. And we're not talking about, you know, the times, for example, when Naspers was such a massive, I think something like 20% of the JSE at one point. If you know better than I do, but we're not talking about a relatively small market like the JSE. We're talking about the S&P 500, for goodness sake.
Exactly. It's crazy to think that. I mean, the S&P 500, and let's continue with that. So if you look at the weight of the, let's call it the MSCI world within the S&P 500 within the MSCI world. Okay, I'm very quickly, I want to get the updated because I know it's increased as well. Currently, if you look at it, it's 72.1%. So if you invest in let's call it any tracker or a company that follows the MSCI World Index, you're pretty much 72% invested in the S&P 500. And that weight is 8%, pretty much just in one company. 8% of that index is one company, Nvidia. So it's crazy. But, I mean, where I'm going with this, if you look at the continue that graph, it's now got to a point where the growth of these companies still outperform the rest of the S&P 500, but not to these margins that we've seen a few quarters back. But the forecast, looking ahead 4 quarters or 8 quarters, basically 2 years, it's showing you that it's going to taper down to pretty much the same earnings growth to the rest of the S&P 500. Yet these companies are trading at multiples more than double than you know, compared to the market. So if any of those things that you mentioned, Lindsay, or I mentioned, so geopolitical or misses in consensus, this market could really, I mean, when I talk at this market, the U.S. market could really retrace, see one of the biggest corrections that it's seen in history.
Okay, so let's hope it doesn't, Skulk. And we're speculating, but it's educated speculation. I'm very pleased with what we've come up with. I mean, it'll probably be something completely different, but at least we've given it a stab. Meanwhile, we have to look at what really drives the markets, and that's companies. Anything on the Stock Exchange News Service today? Any announcements from JSE-listed companies, please, of note?
Yes. We had a big day. a big day. I'm going to run through them very, very quickly because we've took a lot of time sitting in an environment where and I just want to continue to say I'm not thinking the market's going to crash. I actually think that be careful just selling out now over the short-term period with all this good news, because the thing about a balloon is it don't burst when you just blow it up and it becomes a bubble. It eventually blows that final blow, and then it goes like, so, but anyway, market-wise, I mean, we had a big day. I mean, I'm going to start with the company that's been sort of in the news for the past 4 or 5 years, not for the right reasons. I mean, been under continued distress. I mean, yes. That's Sasol.
Now, I saw it at the top of the leaderboard, yes.
Yes. I mean, Sasol for the past, let's call it a few weeks, has gone from a company to really gone from bad to worse. I think it started off the year around about the 70-odd levels, and then it went down to 50-odd levels. You know, today is back to just shy of that 100 rand mark, 97.90. It's up 4% for the day. And that on the back on a very solid trading statement. I mean, yes. I mean, there's a lot of fundies out there will tell me, oh, man, Scott, you're going to call this, you know, great. There were so many once-offs. I mean, we had the Transnet payment, the once-off payment of 4.3 billion. That's not going to repeat itself. There was a few other once-offs as well, bigger once-offs. That doesn't matter. I mean, we know that suddenly momentum is getting back into this company. You've mentioned it many times. You could see the company's former base, very similar to the likes of some of these PGMs.
Yes.
And they've mentioned in their trading statement today, they've had higher average chemical basket prices, so they've got more for their chemicals, and they had some solid cost controls, which helped them now.
It's a bit of a problem. You're talking about chemicals. I don't know how big the share of the earnings cake is attributed to chemicals, but the one thing you've got to worry about, I don't like the look of crude oil. It looks horrible. I think it can come down to $40 to $50 a barrel. And also the rand being so strong. Isn't that a massive, massive negative for Sasol?
It's a massive risk. Not you need to get the oil price to go down to those levels. Not sure that. Okay, your question. I don't have the exact figures, but as I could recollect, I think it's about 48. It's just below. It's between 42 or 48%. One of those two. That's what chemicals actually makes up for Sasol. So it's quite a large contributor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on your oil point, you're 100% right. They're currently sitting with a cost structure of about 58 on the oil side, of about $58 per barrel, which is high. I mean, the CEO did mention that they aim as by 2027 or 2028. Is to reduce that to $50 per share. But be that as it may, I mean, $40 odd, which you just mentioned, that will be a very, very big ball and chain for them. And then we'll most probably see them retrace to the levels that we've seen earlier.
Okay, that's that, Sasol, because we've got to move on to a couple of others. Just give us some other companies on the JSE outside of Sasol, obviously, but some big ones, if you would, if they have them.
I'm just going to end off with Sasol because the EPS, which they mentioned, that's I think, a very important point. The earnings per share that they mentioned in the trading outlook is going to be between 7 rand and 12. I'm not going to talk about the EPS because there's so many once-offs. But the earnings per share, 7 rand to 12 rand per share, and it's a company that's still trading at 98 rand. So we're talking about a company now that's going to be trading at multiples of 2 and 3 times. So This is looking good. Mm. Nedbank. Nedbank had a voluntary announcement today.
I saw that. Yes, wasn't it something to do with? Wasn't it an acquisition, or is that am I wrong?
Yeah, a big acquisition, and I'm so glad seeing this because I mentioned earlier this week to some of my colleagues. We were sitting and I said, well, that's the one thing that I'm missing in the South African market. We keep on seeing these companies coming out and saying that they've had some serious cost controls and cost. And these mines, gold mines specifically, they've mentioned the massive free cash flow, how they've been reducing debt. I miss the days where we start seeing companies actively pursuing some solid acquisitions. And I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but this is a 1.7 billion rand acquisition, a corker. They actually do these digital payment machines.
Okay, so fintech linked. That's acquisition.
100%. 100%. Fintech provider. They process about 20 billion odd rand digital payments annually. So it's a nice, solid company.
Very good.
Market reacted positively. Nedbank was up 2.3% on the back of that. I think the biggest results came from not from a South African company, but from a Chinese company today, Tencent. But that had a massive effect on our market.
Yes.
and naturally on two companies. Tencent, what a beat.
You love the beats, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, when you beat, I mean, I'm not going to talk about the actual values because it's just crazy amount of billions. And when you've got those amount of zeros, I usually struggle. But I mean, 15% year-on-year growth on their revenue, market expected 3%. I mean, 3% was still positive on the back of Chinese economic data. came out 15% year-on-year growth. This is crazy numbers, Lindsay. I mean, this is crazy how they've beat. And naturally, you mentioned the largest company. Yeah, this is still the largest company on the JSE. Naspers up in a 4.25% today in process, you know, up 3.9%.
And these are off big bases as well. 4.25%, you think, oh, well, it's been down. You know, Cecil rallies 4.25% from 55 or whatever. This is not the case. This is off a high base, Skunk.
This is off a crazy high base. I mean, this has been a company that's been recovering. So Naspers not only riding the 10-cent wave, but also doing a few of their own good stuff. I mean, one of the best, I would say, is buying back their own stock. I mean, so they've really been unlocking extra value for their shareholders. So
how
really
much do you think Kurzbecher is worth now?
I can press a few buttons and tell you, but it's going to be I mean, you're talking about billions. I'll have a look while we chat.
Yeah, you can do that. You got another company, have you?
Yeah, I think that the other one is we've had a trading statement coming from Capitec. Yes. We've also seen Capitec lately going to new 52-week highs. I mean, this is a company that's just going from highs to highs, very solid. I mean, when I say solid, I'm talking about, again, crazy, crazy good numbers coming from Capitec. They're mentioning in their trading statement that their HEPS is going to be up anything between 22% and 27%. For this reporting period.
I find it incredible. You know, when I see the unemployment data in South Africa, 33.2% official unemployment, vulnerable youth unemployment, 62.2%. I think to myself, where are they getting the money? Where are they finding the people to transact? I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. I mean, no early days they've been taking massive market share from the other banks, but you know that should be getting increasingly difficult. But look at the innovation. I mean, Lindsay, we were talking about earlier about companies doing cost controls, and I mean every few months there's some great innovation coming from Capitec. I mean, now they're doing data, which you can do, by having a bank account, you can have your own data. Capitec can now actually be your data provider with doing everything on your cell phone. I mean, it's just every few months they come out with these great initiatives, and they're just now going abroad. We know they're going to markets similar to South Africa, and for a few companies it's paid off, but I still need to find a company that's really managed to really, really hit it in the sweet spot when they went beyond the borders of South Africa. But for now, for the Capitec shareholders, this has been a great win, and the share price again reacted another 2% today. Now it's getting very, very close to 2007. But to your question, you want to take a guess what's Kurzbecher's net worth?
Oh, gosh, no, I don't, because I'll get it horribly wrong. How much? How many billions in rands? And then we'll convert that to dollars.
I've got the dollar marks. I've already done the conversion. So according to Grok, and there's been a few sources, and the sources dates back to the 29th of July, 2025, according to Forbes real-time billionaire list. So this is pretty solid. Kurzbecher is currently worth $3.8 billion. Mm. You convert that to rand, that's just shy of 68 billion rand.
That's astonishing. That's extraordinary. I mean, congratulations to him. Where does he live now? What does he do? How many wine farms does he have? Doesn't matter. But what a great South African success story. Has anyone written his biography?
Must be.
I remember asking him if I could write it, and he said, "No, I don't want to. I don't want to do it, Lindsay, because we used to speak quite a lot." But
he's a phenomenal person. Phenomenal is what he's done, over the years. And I've got the greatest respect.
Okay, Skark, I've got the greatest respect for you, but we've got to get on. Because your stories have been great tonight. Let's have a look at the dollar rand first of all. Fantastic. 17.51, and that is a US dollar that's fallen 1.1% against the mighty rand. The British pound against the rand is 23.76, not so glamorous for the rand. And the euro rand is, what is it, 20.51, which is a euro that's fallen a third of a percent against the rand. Euro dollar, amazing, 117.15. The euro up 0.8% against the dollar, and that's, of course, with expectations of interest rates coming down in the United States, therefore debasing the value of the dollar. On now to commodities. Gold price hasn't reacted very much at all to that US dollar, actually. It's up, but it's only up around about a third of a percent, $12 to $33.57. The platinum price the same, $13.44. That's actually down $9. And palladium down $7 to $11.34. Now, we spoke about oil earlier on, and I was speculating that I could, you know, looking at graphs, which I do as a hobby, it just looks horrible, the oil price. Brent crude oil, $65.43, down 1.1%. And the West Texas crude, $62.37, down 1.25%. As the U.S. production levels go to all-time record highs. And, of course, OPEC's quotas going up. Right, S&P 500, we've spoken about another record high today. September futures up very slightly. Hold a second. So yeah, 64.78, up just a little bit. And what else have we got? The South African 10-year bond, that's a good news story, 9.61%. The US 10-year, 4.23%. And the Bitcoin price, close to all-time record highs. Just coming off a bit now, 120,500, we'll call it. Still up 0.5% on the day. Skalk, can you give me some ups and downs on the JSE, and I'll chip in as well.
Yeah, I can definitely do so. So when we look at the let's call it the top performers for the day, we've already mentioned, I mean, it's, when last did you have the top performer also being the biggest company on the JSE?
Look at that thing.
4.25.
Cashbuild
4 and 4.13%. Sasol 3.95%. Then fourth position, Prosus 3.93%. And then we've had Grindrod that also had a trading statement today. They were 3.41%. On the downside, let's quickly have a look.
I'll chip in with Dis-Chem up 3.3% and Aspen up 2.6%. Yeah. On the upside, downside, please, Skalk.
Downside, Omnia 4.6%. We have Karoo 4.45%. Then we added two Investec, Investec Limited and Investec PLC, down 3.53 and 3.32% respectively. That's quite a big drop, huh? That's massive. I wonder if that's not an extra story. I'll have a look now. And then we had RCL, Rainbow. We had them coming at 2.83% down for today. And then I need to mention number six there, because this has been a company that's been in the hot seat in a good way for many, many, many weeks now. And that's British American Tobacco Company taking a bit of a breather today, down 2.7%. And after the market has seen there's been some trading in own shares of British American Tobacco Company today.
Okay. What about Investec? What's the story there?
3.5%. I'm actually going up and just see if it's an exit story before I start running for the hills.
I don't remember their results, so
I can't remember their results either. Now I've got a frozen screen. That's a big problem.
Thought the frozen screen or the Investec falling 3.5%?
No, the frozen screen.
I'm dead. We'll find out, but I don't remember their results being out recently. Okay, Skalk, what we've got to do now is wrap up the JSE indices.
So the JSE today closed at 278 points. That was up a percentage. The resources were down 33%. Industrials were up 1.8%. Actually, if you're going to have Naspers and Prosus doing what it's doing, you're going to have the industrials up 2%. But yeah, 1.82% on industrials. Financials up 1.2%. And even the SA Property Index had a solid day today, 31 basis points in the green. When we look at the current US market as we're sitting here, the S&P 500 is up 14 basis points. Dow Jones, 77 basis points up. And the Nasdaq, after a solid run yesterday, just in the green, currently up 9 basis points. Value traded on the market today, not a bad day. I mean, we had this conversation a few weeks ago, and a few of my colleagues yesterday also. I had a few of my, let's call it the buy side or sell side stockbrokers yesterday meeting, and they actually mentioned how they've seen quite a bit of uptick in activity in the local stockbroking market. You and I have seen it in the daily trade, and today was no different. We had another 23 billion day. I mean, and this is now becoming a bit of the norm. So definitely some interest in JSE stocks. So looking good.
Very good. Great chat, Skalk. Even more than usual. Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.